It's us.
Hi.
We're the podcasters.
It's us. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sam.
We're the Sibs. And you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs.
That's right. This is the podcast where a brother and a sister discuss two of their favorite things, Taylor Swift and cocktails.
Every episode, we will choose a song from Taylor Swift's 200-plus song catalog. We'll each pair a cocktail with that song, and then we will break down our favorite musical mixology moments. Hey, Sam, are we ready for it?
I think we are. Hello, Rachel. Hello, Swiggies. Hello, world. Hello, all of the mans out there.
Hello, Sam.
We are coming to you, episode 43, dressed as none other than men, I suppose you could say. I mean...
No, not just men. The man.
The man. Okay, you're right.
The man.
Rachel's got her power suit on. She's giving... Hillary Clinton. It's giving Taylor Swift in the man. I actually am wearing a suit and tie, but
you're handsome. Look at you.
Thank you. They always said I had a voice or a face for radio, so it's not often that I hear those words. So thank you.
I like the baseball cap, the Playboy baseball
cap.
Yeah,
so that was intentional. I'm wearing my Playboy hat.
You know?
I'm getting a little hot, actually. I might have to take this off at some point. But, so, listeners, you can't see us, but that's the picture that we're painting for you today. We are dressed in character. But, okay, we need to talk about the fact that the Eras movie is out in theaters.
My gracious me!
We've seen it separately, of course. But yes. We've seen it. Tell me about your experience with your family, Rach.
Okay, so I thought I was going to this movie like, look, family, like, you get to come and see this thing that I love. And I was. It was so fun to see their reactions, have Leo go through, like, the whole thing. Like, oh, it's the... Look what you made me do. And oh, it's like, I mean, every era he knew a song and he was like really excited, which was really fun. He made it all the way to the very end to Mastermind. And then he fell asleep in his seat, which was adorable.
Honestly, Mastermind puts me to sleep sometimes too.
Yeah. So anyway, it was wonderful to experience with my family. I really think that they all loved it.
Good.
So much. So much. I was unprepared for how emotional I was going to get.
Oh, boy.
At the beginning. I mean, why are we shocked? Rachel gets emotional at everything. But I just had a flood of tears. I think we've talked about this. Like, there's been such a distance from the experience that you start to forget. And the beauty of that show took my breath away. I was stunned. I felt like I was there on stage. Like, I could just, like, grab Taylor's face in my hands and say, "You are wonderful."
But you that just would totally to, like, pinch
mess
her cheeks
up her performance.
And say, "You're doing such a good job, sweetheart.
I'm so proud of you." It was so great. Okay, so tell me more about your experience.
Yeah, I mean, I have amnesia again. I don't know what it is that Taylor has this hold on me where my heart goes pa-dum, pa-dum, and I just, like, forget everything that happens. No, we had a lot of fun. My friend Stacy didn't get to go to the Eras tour, so this was her experience. And what was fun is Stacy had no idea the layout of the concert at all.
Wow. So, oh, that's exciting.
Very exciting for her. And, you know, our theater was very, there was only like 10 people in there, and we were probably the most, like, dancey and singing of them all. Okay. I hope that's okay. I met a couple people in this theater, and I gave out some stickers, and I, you know, introduced them to our podcast. So if you are listening, I hope you guys don't mind that we were, like, singing and dancing. I thought about it the next day. I was like, I hope we weren't bothering anybody, but I mean, the whole thing for us was, like, we just want to have fun and let loose and relax. So,
yeah, totally. I had a pack of 13 no, probably 30 girls that were 13 years old, literally standing the entire time.
Good for them.
Behind me.
Ooh.
Yes, I thought at first that would be better because then they wouldn't be in my way. But then as the show got on, they got really into their scream singing feels. So yeah. There were moments when I was like, please don't do that. But for the most part, they were just so joyful. And the music, like the sound quality was so loud. And like I was still in the moment. I could hear it so much better than I could at the actual show.
Totally.
So it didn't bother me. It didn't bother Mike. I think the kids actually thought it was kind of fun because they felt like they were part of the concert experience with all these people. I sang and danced the whole time. What about you? Like, you said did you get up or did you stay in your
seat? Yeah, I definitely got up during, like, certain songs. Moments that meant, like, August. I stood up during August. I couldn't sit down for that. I just remember
did
I was
dance?
The only one standing up for August. But we were on the very end of the aisle, too, so nobody was behind us. It was perfect. It was, like, just a blast, but I'm going to need this on streaming ASAP because I am tired of having amnesia from the Taylor Swift Eras Tour. So I just need to watch this over and over and over
and
over
again. So I said I want to watch it every week.
I will spend money for like a DVD or like a digital copy of this. Taylor, take my money like you already have been.
I just want it
all the time. So
I'm going again on Friday. I think I told you that. I have another ticket. Because
maybe I'll fly out and join you, Rach.
That'd be so fun. That would be how we could see this together, Sam.
Yeah, is this going to happen? Is this still going to be in theaters over Christmas, I wonder?
God, it seems like they would bring it back. She's going to surprise us and bring it back.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to. That would be so special.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens, but okay. I'm just glad that we had the opportunity and that you got to go with your whole family. They probably loved it. Rachel, do you have any other Taylor tea you need to get into this week, or do you want to dive right in? Oh, she's giving a look. She is serving a look.
Am I allowed to bring up Swell C just one more time?
All right. What's the Swell C situation? Oh, yes, we did have a moment. That's right.
I just have to say,
she's being very quiet.
The hard launch, which I didn't know was a thing, but apparently there's a hard launch that has happened, meaning, I mean, it's the way that Taylor has confirmed, yeah, we're dating.
Which is what?
Right? Which is that the two of them have been seen a couple of times out and about, out on the town, the New York City town. She was seen once again in Nobu, whatever, the place she loves. She goes there all the time. It's like her place. Okay. And then, surprise, 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 she was seen.
What is
seen.
That?
That's like a TikTok sound.
Oh, I have no clue. I don't go on TikTok.
Yes, you do. Stop it. Travis Kelce made an appearance on Saturday Night Live. So did Taylor Swift introducing Ice Spice. It was a total surprise. Apparently, it was like only within minutes of the show starting did that whole thing come to be.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't know the backstory of it all. I wondered how.
Or at least, I'm sure somebody knew, but they wouldn't tell anybody because they wanted it to be such a shock and a surprise. I didn't want anything to be leaked. And it was a total surprise for everybody in the audience. Like, you could hear them, like, scream as soon as they see Travis Kelce, which I think they were wondering, because everybody knew Ice Spice was there. So then they were like, oh.
Yeah, makes sense. Ice Spice and Taylor being the new besties that they are. Right. Rachel, it seems like you love this relationship. I think this is your hard launch as a huge Swell C stan. I've been on the fence this whole time.
I know.
I have nothing wrong with it. I'm excited that the world is excited. I'm just hoping that Taylor feels comfortable with the attention that she's getting from this. I feel like she is okay because she went on SNL.
I think she's
she's going to the football games. So
I think she's in full control of this launch. In fact, there are theories that think that the whole Travis wanting to give her the friendship bracelet was considered the soft launch, that actually they were dating before. There's a lot of connections of people that they know that might have tried to connect the two of them together. So it's possible they were already talking, whatever, even in, through the summer. And this was her slowly, gradually introducing it to the rest of us.
Well,
in her control sort of way.
We're here for it. I did make a Swelsey friendship bracelet for my Eras movie.
It's so cute.
And I exchanged it with someone at the theater. So I'm hoping they're sporting it. Well, okay. Go Swelsey.
That's all I got. Yeah, just needed to plug a little Swelsey moment. I'm sure there's going to be another one for you next week. So
we'll see.
Stay tuned.
Okay, Rach, before we get into the Swift of the Week, let's talk about if we're doing good and if we're on some new shit. Rachel, are you listening to some new music this week?
Yeah, well, Taylor's been on to some new shit, so I am too. But actually, as I usually do, I've mentioned this artist before, but she has a new album out, and I wanted to plug it because the whole thing is great. I'm listening to Dessa. Dessa is an artist. That comes from Minneapolis, and I got really interested into her this spring. She has a new album out called Bury the Lead, and it is fun. She's just a really cool artist. She's an incredible songwriter, but she's like kind of got hip hop. She raps a lot of her songs, but this album has a lot more some like musical moments in it as well. I knew you were going to ask me what's my favorite song on the album, and the lead-in song, Hurricane Party, is a lot of fun, and I really like this concept of that we've kind of all been living in a hurricane party in the last few years stuff is going down out in the world, and we're just trying to survive by coming together.
I like that concept. Fill the kiddie pool up with Prosecco. Get the LEDs on, need the spectacle. Gotta beat the one last week. Let's get a record. If you're trying to be a go-getter, you gotta go and get it. Desperate times call for desperate.
I think I'm gonna need to turn that one into a cocktail because she talks about fill up the Prosecco in the kiddie pool, and that is a great line.
I would
great
definitely
imagery.
Bathe in a kiddie pool filled Prosecco. No, I mean to say a Prosecco filled kiddie pool.
Yeah, I mean it's giving.
Everyone's swimming in the champagne sea.
Great American Dynasty. Yes, all of those.
What's
things,
the line in so. Last Great American Dynasty? It's filled the pool with champagne. That's what it is.
Champagne. Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's what I was thinking. Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think you talked about Dessa, during the Lavender Haze episode, I want to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had a single come out from this album, which is an incredible song, mm-hmm. Blush. I really love that one. It's very catchy. A lot of this music is just really catchy.
Yeah.
So catch on to it. Play it for your next party. I feel like this is a great song to play in the background to a party.
Will do. I have so many parties that I host. You know me.
So many.
They call me the Gatsby of Fairplay, Colorado. All right. So my new shit this week is a guy by the name of Theo Katzman. The way I discovered him is kind of bizarre, but work with me here. So I was working my usual Saturday night bar shift at the distillery last weekend, and we were having a very particularly slow night. There was nobody in the bar on this Saturday night for like a 30-minute stretch. During that time, I needed to switch up the music that I was playing to get me a little bit more hyped for this like slow moment. So, but I couldn't decide who to listen to. So I go to my Spotify and I choose a random letter, and that was the letter T. And I just wanted to see what would come up. And it was like the Beatles, the Ramones. So I kept pushing letters and it ended up spelling out for me Theo. And it was like a Ouija board moment. I did not even mean to do this.
Yes.
So I discovered Theo Katzman. He's fantastic. I love it. It's sort of like acoustic but funk. And then I was really vibing with it when these two dudes come in. And oftentimes this happens at the distillery in Fairplay, Colorado. You get a lot of like tough cowboy mountain men coming in. And they do require a certain type of, like, ambiance. And Theo Katzman, I was not expecting for them to vibe with. And they sat down, they ordered a couple of old fashions, and they go, who is this? This is great music. And so we just, like, they just hung out with me at that bar for the next hour until I closed the place down. And Theo Katzman.
That is so fun. We used to make love together, now we pray. I thought the end of your story was going to be that, like, these guys, like, knew this Theo Katzman.
No, they definitely did not. But they had me write his name down to give to them so they could listen to that later on their own time.
Oh, my
gosh. I just pulled that out. I totally forgot to come up with some new shit. I just pulled that out into the ether.
That is some good new shit. Okay, we're gonna make a playlist for our next parties that we throw, Gatsby parties, and it's going to be Dessa and Theo Katzman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it.
Okay, Rachel, time to get into the Swift of the Week. I chose this song like 2 episodes ago, and we kind of skipped over it because we definitely needed to get into Haunted with our special guest last week. So for this episode, we are doing a Lover classic. We have not talked about a Lover song since Cruel Summer, which was like 4 months ago.
Was it that long?
Yeah, I cannot believe. So I wanted to get into a Lover track, and the reason I chose this song in particular was because I already had a cocktail in mind for it. So without further ado, Rachel, let's get into The Man. I would be complex, I would be cool. They'd say I played the field before I found someone to commit to. This is track 4 off of Lover. It is a fun one. It is a little, it's got a message to it. Taylor is really passionate about what she's singing about here. It's a song that I guess she'd been wanting to write for many, many years. What's that like? I'm so sick of running as fast as I can. Wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man. And I'm so sick of them coming. And it finally came through so well. And I'm just thrilled to get into it with you. So let's start swinging, shall we?
All right, Sam. I'd love to know what you are swigging on.
Okay, so
for The Man,
I chose The Man specifically because I had a cocktail in mind. I took inspiration from the line in The Man where she sings, I'd be just like Leo in Saint-Tropez.
Oh, fun. Uh-huh. Okay.
So I did a little bit of research Saint-Tropez, which is on the Riviera in the southern part of France. And there is a very famous cake that is known to be from Saint-Tropez. The famous cake that comes from Saint-Tropez is called the Tarte Tropezienne. And this is a cake that was made famous by a baker who opened up a pastry shop in Saint-Tropez in like the 1950s. And it is a brioche-style cake with a cream filling on the inside that utilizes orange blossom water.
Oh.
So that is the inspiration for my cocktail today. So, what I did is I made a flip. Rachel, have you ever had a flip?
I love a flippin' flip.
Okay, I was waiting for that joke to come in there. I've actually never made one, nor have I ever tried one in my life.
I'm surprised you don't have this at your distillery, because I feel like it goes really great with a whiskey cocktail.
Yeah. There's a lot of brandy flips, and we do make brandies. Mm. Now, of course, we do a lot of egg white. Now, a flip is where you use the whole flipping egg. The white and the yolk goes in. It's a really old style way of making a cocktail. So, the Tarte Tropezienne, like I said, is made with brioche. My cocktail does not contain bread in it or flour. But the brioche in this cake is made with orange blossom water. So, not to mention there's like egg and cream and milk going into the cake. So I use, that's why I made a flip, because I wanted a whole egg in there.
Yeah, eggy. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Eggy. A brioche is super enriched, right?
Yeah.
Instead of orange blossom water, I did use an orange liqueur. There's heavy cream in here. And then I used a grape brandy, which is like a cognac, which is a French liquor, right? Mm-hmm. This is, of course, the distillery where I work, grape brandy. You shake it up. It gets a little creamy and frothy. All of that shaken together, and then I garnished with a little orange zest. Now, this tarte trapezienne sounds really delicious the way I read it being described online. I guess it was made famous by Brigitte Bardot when she was filming a movie in Saint-Tropez in like the 1950s, 1960s. She kind of put this cake on the map.
I think that would be Brigitte.
Brigitte Bardot. Brigitte Bardot, okay? I am the man. I know what I'm talking about here, Rachel. Do not try to woman-splain me right now.
Oh, pardon me.
I'm calling it Just Like Leo. And we'll get to that part in the song here. But I'd like to think that this is what it tastes like. The tarte trapezienne that Brigitte Bardot used to enjoy. So that's all I got. Cheers.
I love it. Cheers, Sam. I've been drinking some orange blossom water cocktails as of late.
Like, yum. I didn't acquire orange blossom water.
Well, it's not easy to get, but I happened to see it in a local grocery store here in Chicago. There's just a lot more of international food selections, and that's something you'd find more in like a Moroccan or kind of Mediterranean section I made a simple serve with it, and it's delightful, and I bet that would be so yummy in that.
Yes, that would be definitely a good way to enhance this cocktail, for sure.
Love it.
All right, your turn.
All righty. I am bringing pretty straightforward, I'd be the Manhattan.
Good.
Yeah, it needed to be done. It was a softball for me. So I made a Manhattan. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to do a different kind of fall seasonal flavor. And so I made a pear Manhattan.
Yum.
So,
okay.
I have stumbled upon a couple of recipes that's using this spiced pear liqueur. In fact, a neighbor friend at our local at our recent block party made. I've discovered my neighbors around me are mixologists. Like a couple of them, like these dudes, and so like the dudes and I were bonding over
the mans and you.
the mans and I were bonding over cocktails and mixology, and he has this cocktail that he likes to make called. It tastes like fall, right? Which makes me laugh because it literally has the word right question mark in the end.
I get it.
In the
title. Yes.
You get it. Okay. Anyway, that used spiced pear liqueur. I was like, I gotta get myself some spiced pear liqueur. And then I found a bunch of recipes. In walks, I'd be the Manhattan. So it's a whiskey Manhattan, rye whiskey. And there's... It uses the spiced pear liqueur as the like vermouth, which I did like some sweet vermouth and some pear liqueur because I feel like the pear liqueur is really sweet and I didn't want it to be too sweet of a Manhattan. So spiced pear liqueur.
Are there the bitters in there too?
Oh yeah. I use my favorite walnut bitters that I'm getting into. I felt very fallish.
Yes.
So yeah, I'd be the man.
Awesome. Cheers. That makes sense.
Cheers.
That makes sense. Rachel, I think you have made more variations of Manhattans on this podcast.
I think I have.
And that is nothing but a strength, in my opinion, because Manhattan's like my favorite cocktail.
Well,
and you always
mine.
Switch it up.
I know. It's not my favorite cocktail, but I feel like I like to stretch myself a little bit on this podcast and make it kind of, I don't know, interesting to different people who like different things. And I know there's a big section of people who like old fashions and Manhattans and that kind of like more richer flavors. So
I wonder what you'll make when we do Welcome to New York.
I mean, I already know, but it might, I might have already made it. I can't remember.
There's actually several other New York City songs we've yet to tackle. So
that's true.
The time will come. Okay, Rach. Well, the swigs are done. Let's get into the Swift. Let's get into the man. We're going to break down the spirit of the song, the musical mixology of the song, and the Taylor with a twist, all of the luscious lyrics. Is luscious the right adjective to describe?
No, no. I think this song is not luscious.
They're a little juicy. They're juicy. Luscious and juicy kind of go together.
They're a little bitter.
I'd
give it bitter.
Well,
in a good way.
Put a pin in that. I chose this song this week, so I guess I'll get into the spirit of the song here.
Please do. Just go ahead, the man.
Yes. It's my turn to speak. I feel like I'm going to get called out a lot in this episode.
I think you are. I can't help it. It's just, you're literally the man of this podcast.
I am
podcast,
truly the man.
Sorry.
The man is a song that, as I mentioned earlier, Taylor had been wanting to write this kind of song for a while about what it's like what it would be like if, instead of being the woman that she is, if she were a man, but she was doing all the same things, but how she would be perceived by the media and by the public if the things that she was doing now as Taylor Swift as the woman were being done if she were a man, and how ultimately it wouldn't be viewed in such a negative way like she often gets, right? So it's all about this double standard that she faces as a woman in this industry.
I think it's really great that you pointed that out, that this has been something that she's been wanting to write forever, because I think it's so interesting. I'm glad that she waited, because I feel like Lover Taylor era was much better at really digging in and calling out, and she does not hold back in this. I think some might say she got even more as we go on into Mad Woman of Folklore. That was like, which I feel like is kind of like an addendum to this song or another side of the story. But I think I'm so glad that she really, you could tell that this has been festering. Like, she's just been wanting to say this and finally figured out how to do that. I think that that's really important.
Yeah, I had more to say, but I forgot.
I'm sure it was really good. I mean, I'm sure whatever you come up with is just going to be seen as, like, really important.
Getting called out. We should have a tally mark every time I get called out as being the man that I am. I guess the only other thing that, I mean, this is, like, truly obvious when you get into the lyrics, but the whole thing that she's singing about in this song is, if she were a man doing exactly the same things that she was doing, she would be the man, because this is Taylor Swift is another like spirit part of the song is like Taylor is very confident in her success and in her like ability to be a standout woman in the music industry, but she's often so frequently scrutinized and critiqued. But if she were a man, she would be the man. And she would be, and I think she is, like, considered to be truly, like, such a powerhouse and someone to be absolutely respected. But nonetheless, she still gets a lot of flack. But if she were a man, she probably wouldn't be getting any of that flack. And that's truly what this song is about.
The entire song is about the double standards
of
men and women, but particularly, like, personally to her, but to anyone. And I also think it's really important that she pointed out that women have this baked inside of us too, that we don't even notice that what we do to other women or how we do this to ourselves. Like, I'm thinking about the ways that you said she's a very confident person, and That's a hard thing to develop. Now, she has a reason to be confident in her skills and her abilities and her strengths, but I think that's a much easier thing for a man to do than a woman. Like, we just don't always let ourselves be proud of who we are and our accomplishments.
Maybe it's societal norms telling you not to feel proud.
Totally.
You know? Yeah. That's the spirit of the man. I really want to get into the music because musical mixology. This is a very upbeat, catchy, like kind of heavily produced track. On the album, it's placed right in between two slow tracks. Lover and The Archer. And so it's a really fun counter to that. Like, sonically, musically, it like kind of slaps you. And that was the point. Taylor was also quoted saying she wanted this song to be fun and catchy and upbeat specifically so that it would get caught in people's minds, that they couldn't get it out of their head. That way they continue to think about this message, and they're walking around, they can't get the song out of their head, and they're thinking about the double standards and gender inequality that exists. And that was a really mastermind move on Taylor's part. Yeah. And this definitely is brilliant. Such a banger. Now, I do want to bring up, Beyonce has a song called If I Were a Boy, and it's a very similar type of message. But Beyonce's song, as good as it is like slower and kind of more of like an emotional track.
Like a ballad kind of thing?
Yeah, it's like a ballad, sure.
If I were a boy, even just for a day,
Then this one, which is like upbeat, punchy, like you can't get it out of your head. And it is important to note that she did decide to release this as a single. I believe it was the fourth single that came off of Lover. So it became a radio hit. She made an iconic music video off of this. Mm-hmm. I believe it is the first music video that Taylor Swift ever directed. And if you're not familiar, the whole setup of the music video is Taylor dressed as...
Well, what's interesting is you don't necessarily know the first time you see it that it's Taylor.
I did not know it was Taylor. So it's you're watching a man doing these manly things. Manly as in like... Not like manly in the generic sense. I mean like asshole manly things.
Yes.
Like
yes.
He's being rude.
Douchebaggery.
And that's Taylor in a man suit with man makeup on. And the first time you watch this, you don't necessarily know. I remember not realizing it until there's one particular scene when, like, she/he makes a face, like a smile or something. And it's Taylor's smile. And that's when you're like, oh.
Well, but like, I didn't notice it until the very end when they're rolling the credits. They show how she got into her makeup,
and so that's like interesting.
Showing the process
because
becoming the man.
My comment on the music video, it makes me uncomfortable, and I don't know if that's intentional on her part. I feel like the whole point of this music video for her was to just have fun with it. I almost wish the music video told a different story. The whole music video is just her dressed as a man being a D-bag. But yeah. I kind of wished it had more of like a meaningful story like the message does. But it's really just about having fun, I think. It makes me uncomfortable because Taylor Swift looks like... To me, it looks like an effeminate-looking man. You can tell.
Yeah. And it feels like an odd casting for the guy that's supposed to be like the man. You're like, that's an interesting.
It's a little. I don't know if cringy is the right word because it's a well done music video. It's super fun but there's just like something a little bit off about it. What's really funny is there's a behind the scenes where she has to learn how to like move like a man so that she can come off as a man. And so there's like a movement coach trying to give her like tips on how to like walk like a man. But she's not very convincing when she's like, she's walking like Taylor Swift. Like she's like struts still. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. It's, I've seen this.
It's pretty iconic. You got to go watch the music video. It's definitely a lot of fun. It's just strange.
Well, what's really interesting is like, you could take it as the song is about like, oh, well, if I was a man, I would be powerful and strong and be doing really good things. It's not really like the music video is uncomfortable because it's almost showing like all the negative things that a woman doesn't even want to be anyway. Like she doesn't want to be a baller. Like she doesn't want to be with bitches and models. She doesn't want to be like totally rude and all of those things. Like she just wants to be seen as equal.
Yes.
And so it's almost like just as ridiculous to see this disgusting man as it is to think about how women are just not good enough. And so I think the uncomfortableness is intentional because a man and a woman can have different qualities and different strengths. Like I think that the softness and the kindness and the thoughtfulness of women, I'm not saying that all men are not kind and soft and thoughtful, but I think there's just a different element of the way that we are made up. It's actually a really important quality to have in the world of leadership and music and art and all of this, and not in a way that like Taylor should be more like a man, but that like she should be seen as equal. However she is should be seen just as important as the way that a man enters the world and sees the world.
Yeah.
That just got real deep.
That's the point. I mean, It needs to get deep with your blazer and my Playboy hat.
Yes,
I got
things to say. Yes, that's pretty appropriate.
All
right. What I wanted to say about the music is, okay, she starts the song. There is no lead-up music.
Right.
And there's no outro music.
Right.
Taylor is the has the first word and the last word, and it is just her singing. Mm. So that, I think, is a really powerful choice that she made. That she's saying, like, the way that maybe a man might enter the room, as we say, like, mansplaining everything before listening and asking questions and whatever. She's saying, no, I'm going to have the first and the last word here in this conversation. You have to listen to me. You can't talk over me through the music or whatever. I think that's a really cool,
smart choice. I'm going to say something controversial here.
Do it.
I do want to give a lot of credit to her producer on this, who is a man.
Yes, you do. Of course,
but I want to shout out Joel Little, who produced this song. He did a number of songs on Lover, and we've never talked about him. Well, often a lot of attention goes to Jack Antonoff, Max Martin, Aaron Dessner, but Joel Little is another producer.
Men.
Yes, but that is Taylor's choice to work with these men. Okay.
Fine. Fair.
And that's an actually really interesting conversation to be had all of the producers she's worked with are men, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but it is a little bit sort of like, I mean, Taylor is all about supporting women and giving women voices. And it is an interesting thing that she's not worked with any female producers. I think probably because there's not that many of them, which, you could attribute to the music industry standards as a whole, or just like, I don't know, the way that producers attract other producers. I'm not too sure on that. But all
this
to say,
Taylor Swift would ever become a producer?
Well, she co-produces, so... I think she has a lot of say. When it says co-producing, I think that means she's like, oh, what if we did this type of sound? And she like tinkles on the keyboard.
Right.
Tinkles? Why did I say tinkle?
Is she peeing all over the wall with purple glittery pee?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Oh my gosh, that's another part of the Man music video that is so iconic. It's become this like huge thing in Swifty Easter egg searching.
Oh my gosh, totally. Is the Man wall. I don't even feel like we even have time to talk about that.
I don't even think we do, but we'll put it in the show notes. Okay. Anyways, Joel Little is the producer of this, and I really like his production on this song. It's one of my favorite musical mixology songs on Lover in the way that it's upbeat and it's fun. The production, I don't remember. I tried to find this interview so I could kind of reference it, but I couldn't find it. I do remember when Lover came out, I watched an interview where I think it was like a radio interview right after Lover came out, and the host, the interviewer, was like, of all the songs, Taylor, I want to congratulate you on the song The Man simply because of its production. The production is sick. I remember that interviewer saying that. And it truly is sick. It is just like that. There's like some really cool drum beats and like snare. It's like kind of trap-like in a way. It just catches you. And that's what she was going for, right? It was catchy. So
yeah. Well, I love a beat that goes silent.
Oh, it does do that.
For a few beats or a second or something. And there are moments, a lot more moments like that, especially at the beginning. And I think that leads back to what I just said. Like, she wanted to be like, listen, pay attention to me. Listen to me. Like, it's just me talking.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When everyone believes ya, what's that like? All right, Rachel. Well, let's get into the twist of it all. By the way, I just want to say, I got a little notebook. I've been using this notebook since episode 1, 1.5, episode 2, when we discussed Maroon. This is the last page of my notebook. Fear not, I've got more, but it ended with The Man. I actually didn't write many notes for the lyrics. I feel like the lyrics truly speak for themselves.
Yes.
So
they're not sneaky. They're not all that like secretive, but they're just some important.
Yes. But that's messages. I mean, that's kind of, there's a little bit of like sneakiness, I suppose you should say, but,
sure. I would be complex. I would be cool. What I was going to say about this part is that like we can be, I think there's like this way that women are considered like could only be one thing. We can only be seen as good at one thing, and so that's like two dimensional. Whereas a man can be
complex.
Yes, but like artist, producer, musician, writer, whatever. Like they can be good at a lot of things. Taylor is good at a heck of a lot of things. And no one wants to talk about that. Now, here's what I want to ask you, Sam. This song was written in 2019, right? Or it was released in 19. Okay. She's been writing it for years, but it was released in 19. And it takes some stabs at a lot of her critique. Some of the things I want to say is, do you think in the Taylor world now, that people still feel this way? You are nodding your head.
No, I'm nodding because I know. I didn't know exactly how you were going to frame this question, but I know your question.
Okay.
I think Lover Taylor is a different type of woman than Eras Tour Taylor, because she's literally doubled her fan base and garnered so much more positive attention in recent years that I hope that she truly feels acknowledged in the positive light that I see. And now my whole like algorithm is all about Taylor Swift positivity, but I feel like it's a lot more globally understood now that she is truly someone to be respected, someone of ultimate talent and craft and artistry. And yes, I know there's still a lot of haters out there, but the hate is not about like, The hate that I see isn't about how she's not a role model or how she's not talented. It's just about like, oh, they don't like her fame, or they don't like how everyone's like attracted to her, or they don't get it, you know? Right. And yeah, I feel like, exactly. I mean, this was 4 years ago, probably almost 5 years ago that the song was even written. And I think a lot has changed for Taylor in those 5 years. But that is not now, to say that she still does not face scrutiny. And there's, by all means, there is still a double standard and there's still gender inequality. But I'd like to think that she just has generally more confidence in how she is perceived. I don't know. That's how I feel.
I think that's important to say. I also think it's important that Taylor knows that she's not writing just for herself. As much as she writes personally,
yeah,
she's writing for all women.
True. Still something
that all women are like facing. Like, it's hard to be it's really hard to be a multifaceted person or be considered like an amazing like boss, an incredible mom, and you know, someone who has Taylor Swift family. You can't be all three at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, generally you're just seen as one, whereas men can be seen as a lot of different things. So anyway, that's the opening.
Yeah.
That's how we start. Yeah. It's also interesting that we start with that I Will Be Complex, but the song's not very, like, the music at that point is not complex. It's like really like very pulled back, and we'll get into that later. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was an interesting choice.
Keep going.
This next section to me personally has me so excited for the song Slut.
I know.
Exclamation mark.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so because I feel like this next section is all about, like, they say, I played the field before I found someone to commit to. That would be okay for me to do. Every conquest I had made would make me more of a boss to you. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
It's like my favorite part.
This is just kind of like playing on that, like, people are constantly saying that she's like playing the field, whatever. There are...
No. She's saying if she were a man, they would call it playing the field, which is viewed as a more positive way than what she's doing, which is just sleeping around, serial dating. She's mm-hmm. being slut shamed, but playing the field is more like, oh, you're trying to see what's out there for you. You're playing the field.
Exploring.
It's an important growth journey for you to be on, to date all these different people. Like, if she was a man, that's how it would be talked about. Right? Mm. That's what they would say if she were a man, but that is not what what we're saying about Taylor now.
What are we going to get with Slut?
I don't know. This episode is coming out on the day that we are going to hear Slut for the first time, but obviously we've not heard it yet, so.
That's right.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is here. It is upon us.
We haven't even talked about that. But it is
also in the future. I know.
This podcast episode is coming out the day of our beloved 1989 Taylor.
Happy 1989 Taylor's version, everybody.
Hi. Welcome to
19. We still don't know what Slut sounds like, but.
No, we don't.
TBD.
TBD. All right. We're getting more just like of this, like, I'd be a fearless leader. I'd be an alpha type. Like she would be.
Fearless.
Fearless?
Oh, fearless. Fearless. I don't know. Fearless. She used the word fearless. That's kind of a fun shout out.
It is interesting. Right. And that, like, men are considered leaders. Women are considered bossy. And then this part, when everyone believes ya, I think is kind of going back to like her Me Too movement moments, which I don't think I realized this. This is just how, talk about positive algorithms. But like when Taylor came out about her lawsuit from the radio DJ and kind of in a context of the Me Too movement, she was laughed at as if that didn't count, as if that wasn't like worthy of.
I think many women are when they come forward, like, so many people point the finger at the woman. I should say the victim, because it's not always a woman, but
true.
Majority of the time it is. And it's easy to not believe the victim or the woman, especially if you're already in favor of the perpetrator, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very specific example of what she probably means when saying when everyone believes you, what's that like?
What's really interesting, I think, here, and the reason I didn't continue to say what's that like, is that all the way through this first verse,
yeah,
we haven't heard the chorus yet. Okay, yeah. So she's just introducing a way to be in the world. Now, you can maybe kind of hint, if you know the title of the song, The Man, but she's just talking about, I will be complex, I will be cool, I would be this, I would be that, whatever, whatever. And then she pauses right after When Everyone Believes Ya, as if, like, those are all these great things, and then she's like, pauses, and she's like, what's that like?
Yeah, that's, you know, true. Like, this is the first time we're like, this is the hook. This is where we're getting into, yes, the point.
Yes. That's when she was like, oh, I could be all this. Oh, so what's that like for you? How's mm-hmm. that for you? And I just think that's so, like, that pause is so intentional. I love it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So that gets us right into our chorus.
Yeah, these are some of my favorite lines. I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man.
Well, it's almost like she's saying, I know how far I'm going to get. I know where I'm going to go.
Yes.
That's not the question.
Right.
The question is how quick I'm going to get there, mm-hmm. and how many ladders I have to climb before I get there. And
right.
that's the confidence in her.
Yeah.
Like, she's not doubting if she will get as far as other people. She's just saying, it's going to take me twice as long
mm-hmm.
because I have to fight.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's so important. If I was a man, oh, wait, I'm so sick of them coming at me again.
And this is the catch of it all, because if I was a man, then I'd be the man, as
the
if
man.
To say, the fucking man, dude. Like,
here's what's annoying to me as I was reading that. I was like, there's not a female equivalent to the man. Like, no one says
the woman.
The woman.
Yes.
So that's interesting. Like, I agree. I love the. If I was a man, I would be the man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the ball.
I mean, like, you bring up a good point. There's not a term, like, a female equivalent to describe what the man is like. It's just.
Well, the simple fact that we use the word the man to describe someone who is on top of their game, like, as if only men can be on top of the game, as if women could never be there. So the fact that it already is there, like, it's very patriarchal.
Yes.
To begin with.
Fuck the patriarchy.
Keychain on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Second verse.
Another verse.
They'd say I hustled, put in the work. They'd say I'd hustled. Like, that's like a, oh, she worked hard. She hustled. They wouldn't shake their heads and question how much of this I deserve. Like, this feels personal for Taylor. Like, I feel
yes.
like she is feeling very personally attacked by the media, by articles, by critics, questioning if she deserves all the attention. I mean, we still get this. Like I said earlier, all the haters are like, I don't get the hype, right? Like, she has all of this attention. People question, why is she so deserving of this? She's just a pop singer. But if she were a man, would it really be that questioned? That's exactly how she feels.
Well, and I think this is also not just for Taylor, but it goes into, like, DEI stuff, right? Like diversity, inclusion. Anytime there are these conversations of trying to diversify or expand any sector of the world, whether it's business or politics or whatever, it's like people will be like, well, do we have to give it to her just because she's a woman? Do we have to give it to him just because he's black? You know, that kind of
right.
thing. And I feel like this is her saying, like, people are constantly questioning if you deserve it when you've made it that far
mm-hmm.
up. Like, you get there, but then they're still going to, like, knock you down. They're still going to shake their heads. What I was wearing, if I was rude, could all be separated from my good ideas and power moves. You know who I thought of when I read these lines? Hillary Clinton. This was a constant for her in the conversation of the race in 2016. It was always about what she was wearing, how her demeanor, and like it was never about, like, her brilliant ideas or her intelligence or what she could bring to the pot. It was the conversations were about that instead.
Mm-hmm.
Disgusting.
Yes, yes. All right, I have an ick and a critique in this song, and it is this next line.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand why she sings it the way she does. The line is, "And they would toast to me, oh." Because she needs to rhyme it with Leo, which comes later.
Yes.
She's trying to say, oh, but she doesn't say they would toast to me, oh. She goes, they would toast to me, er.
I don't hear er.
How do you not hear er?
Well, now I need to go back and hear it.
I mean, I'm shocked that you don't already have this in your mind. Because this is all I...
Because it sounds like, me, yeah.
But it's supposed to rhyme with Leo. And so written down, it's Leo. O. They would toast to me, O.
Leo.
This is a perfect opportunity for her to say O, but she enunciates it er. Listen to it right now. And they would toast to me, er. Let the players play. I'd be just like Leo in Saint-Tropez. I need backup on this. Mirror.
No.
I don't understand this.
You're cray.
I
only hear O.
Okay. Do not. Please do okay. not talk down to me, Rachel. Please do not disregard my feelings as
I'm woman-splaining you
as relevant. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm gonna need someone to back me up on this.
All it, right.
All I hear is
mom's gonna back you up.
Toast to mirror. That it sounds like she's saying mirror. And it bothers the heck out of me.
No. Okay.
I'm glad it doesn't bother you so much. But anyways.
All right.
Moving on. They would toast to me.
Let the players play.
Let the players play.
Yeah.
I'd be just like Lear in Saint-Tropez. This line is juicy.
Oh my gosh.
She went there.
She just like straight up called him out on that. Like.
Totally.
First name and everything. Like, this is not even, like, a hint, like, a metaphor. She literally said, you know that guy Leo in Saint-Tropez who has all those parties? Yeah, I'll be just like him.
I feel like we need to talk about what she's talking about here. So she's referencing Leonardo DiCaprio's got this, like, yearly...
Not Leo, my child.
No.
Who I could see wanting to throw big parties.
He's literally 5 years old, Rachel.
Well... He's got a wild
side. What Taylor is calling out is Leo DiCaprio, who has these, like, annual parties in Saint-Tropez where he's known for just, like, getting all these super young women. And he's much older than me.
Half his age.
Yeah, half his age.
They stay... She gets older, but they all stay...
Very much so, yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
I'm not using
So that's what
right
she's calling out language, here. But I guess when Leo does this... He's viewed as, like, such a handsome, sophisticated Gatsby-esque, which is interesting because he plays Gatsby.
Because he played Gatsby.
Uh-huh. And that's how Taylor would be perceived. They would just toast to her, or to him, mm-hmm. for that matter.
And they'd just be like, oh, let the players play.
Player's going to play.
Shake it off, Taylor. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to cheers to that because that's my cocktail right there. Also gone.
Cheers.
Well, woe is me. Or should I say, were is myrrh.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Okay. Please comment on whatever social media platform you are following us on. Send us an email at swiftandswigspodcast@gmail.com letting us know, do you hear toast to me,
how wrong Sam is.
Cannot wait to hear from the people. Okay. Another chorus. I think it's the same chorus, right?
Get another chorus.
I'm
same
so
thing,
sick of running as fast as I can.
Get a...
If I get the cookie first, I'm the man. Yes.
And now we get to fun little bridge.
Oh, this bridge is fun
stuff. It's fun. It's fun. Yeah. What's it like to brag about? Breaking in dollars and getting bitches and models. Okay, is this the first time that she said bitch in a song?
It might be. She doesn't swear too often in her earlier discography. Maybe she says the word damn every so often.
Yeah.
Does she not say bitch in, like, Speak Now? I feel like some of those, like, really heartfelt Speak Now songs, she might say the word bitch.
No, because I remember it was a really big deal when Folklore and Evermore came out, how much she swore.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like
But not in 1989? She doesn't swear in 1989? A reputation? No, she's got to swear in reputation.
She says, damn.
I did something bad. I did something bad. She definitely says something. Shit. And if they talk shit, then I owe them nothing. So she says that word.
Yeah.
But your point is bitch. I don't know.
I felt like this is the first bitches.
This is the first bitches we get. Aww,
Taylor's first. Baby's first bitch.
I love how she's asking, what's it like to brag about raking in dollars and getting bitches and models? I don't know, Taylor. I really do not know what that's like. I am 100% with you on this.
You're like, I want to know too. Tell me more.
But it's, this bridge is, this is the twist, because the first half of this bridge is like, what's it like to be this man
what's
that does
like
this
to
thing?
Be like this?
And then the second half is her in that exact position. So it's, what's it like to brag about raking in dollars and getting bitches and models, and it's all good if you're bad. It's okay if you're mad. That's how people perceive you as a man. And then she puts it in her perspective. If I was out flashing my dollars, I'd be a bitch.
A bitch.
Not a baller.
But
the first time she's using bitch as in like women and like beautiful, sexy partners. Yeah. That's how she uses bitches.
Women are always bitches, regardless in this conversation.
Totally.
Women are always bitches.
Yeah, this is a power bridge. This is a banging bridge, Rachel. We haven't had a banging bridge in a minute.
We haven't. It's good to be back
in
our banging bridges.
It is good to be back in our banging bridges era.
What was our first banging bridge?
I don't know. I always think of Cruel Summer as like the bangingest of...
No, I know, but that phrase came about, I want to say, pretty early.
Yeah, it came early on. I don't remember.
Do we have discography on this? Is it called discography when you have a catalog?
Of a podcast? I don't know.
All right. Anyways. Anyway, so they paint me out to be bad instead of it's all good if you're bad. They paint me out to be bad. So it's okay that I'm mad. So I like this final sentence that she says, because it's basically her saying, it's okay that I'm singing this angry song because of all of these reasons I just named of why it's a double standard. It's okay.
This is why I'm mad. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's it's okay that I'm mad, but is it okay that she's mad? Because like,
well, they don't.
Is
think
the media
it is.
Okay?
That's
that
why it's interesting
mad?
That she says that. It's interesting that she didn't say it's not okay that I'm mad, but I think this was her way of kind of bringing it back to her and saying, "No, stop! It is okay that I'm mad, and that's why I'm writing this song to begin with, because of all these terrible things I just named."
There's nothing like a mad woman.
It leads you right into that song. You have to wonder if there were parts of that Mad Woman song that were just like wanting to be in this. And she was like, it's not right. That needs to go somewhere else. That needs its own storyline about the emotions and feelings of women. She's like, I have too much to say. I'm going to put that in another song another time. And this is just kind of a little Easter egg carrying us to an album we don't even know is going to exist in years from now.
Yeah. I just want to say, I like how, I feel like this is the only time we've, like, Taylor has acknowledged how rich she is. If I was out flashing my dollars, which she has many, many dollars, and she's not really flashy about it ever, is she? Other than, like, the fact that she has a private jet, she does get a lot of flack for that, but... I don't think she's, like, out there in the clubs, like, buying bottles of...
With Mia and...
She's not jet-setting all over to these, like, lavish vacations. She literally has, like, house parties at her mansion, which isn't flashing. That's just, like, a humble little way of showcasing... her friends. She's not out
I mean, she was for a while. Like, I wouldn't say she was flashing her dollars, but like, she was, she had her
1989 era
pack, as they called it. And here we go. Right. Taylor gets the last word with the man.
If I was a man, then I'd be the man. Yes.
Alrighty. Good job, Tay. Okay. I just thought of something.
Okay.
But I forgot to say, I chose pear for my Manhattan because if you're the man, you're going to grow a pear.
Yes.
I forgot to mention that. So just, you know, there you go.
Never too late to have a joke about balls.
Too late. All right, Sam. We hustled. We put in the work. But now we are shaking our heads because the podcast is over. It's so sad. We all know that you're the man here. And I would be the man if I was a man. But I'm not. What I am is the person who gets to tell you what song we are doing next week. I feel very powerful, as Taylor would say. Showing my guns.
Rachel, what are we doing next week?
All right. So I was thinking about a couple of things. Okay. First, I was thinking about we're still kind of in that like haunted Halloween witchy season, okay?
Oh.
And I was also thinking about the man, or should I say my man.
Yeah.
I know that the more I say, the less you know, so I'll just get to it. Will you take my hand, wreck my plans, and be the man to talk about Willow.
Boo, boo, ba-doo, boo,
ba-doo, I just feel like, especially after the Eras tour, that the Willow is such a beautiful, haunting Halloween song.
Yeah.
With some witchy brews. And we haven't done Evermore for a long time. So
true. So true. It's
time to get into Evermore. Kind of like hang out in our little haunted feels for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Great choice. That makes so much sense. I did not know where you're going, but that totally checks out.
Excellent.
Cool. Well, Swiggies, if you think that we are complex, that we are cool, we think it would be okay for you to come find us over on our social media platforms. That would be at Swift and Swigs Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. You can share this podcast with your friends, be it a man, be it a woman, be it a non-binary person in between. We just want everybody to have as much fun as we were having. You can also send us an email at swiftandswigspodcast@gmail.com. What are you going to say in the email? I don't know. How you think it sounds like they would toast to me or?
Oh my gosh.
I cannot not hear it. I don't understand how that doesn't. What else can you do? You can subscribe to our channel on Spotify. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends about our good ideas and power moves.
Yeah, that one.
Love and appreciate it. Until then, we'll toast to you. Let the players play. Don't be like Lear in Saint-Tropez, but do drink the Saint-Tropez cocktail because it's done wonders.
I might need to.
Cheers.
All right. Cheers.